The Holy Gospel today is from the 12th chapter of Mark. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which is worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow had put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she has to live on." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. And this is a video to watch and listen to. So that person, his name is Justin Meek, and maybe you heard that name, or maybe not, but at California Lutheran down in Southern California, there was, at the Borderline Cafe, that's where a shooting happened, a mass shooting. And he was a student that I had visited, a friend, a pastor friend in Santa Cruz, and his daughter had posted this video of him a year ago, just practicing with the CLU choir, because he was the soloist who started the, in the black shirt and the beard. And he happened to be at that bar this past week and was at the front door just, allowing students in and things like that. And then he was gone on that day. And I just thought it was important to lift that person up, especially with that song, I love you and it's a wonderful world, because in mass shootings, it's not a wonderful world. And while love can happen in those moments, and it did with him, because he sacrificed his life by stopping some bullets so that other people weren't killed, in a way, he is a kind of veteran, of these mass shootings. It's just something that's a part of us that seems more and more. And so as I was in California, the smoke of the Paradise Fire then, all the way up in the Santa Cruz, hundreds of miles away, was thick, and it just, you could not disconnect. I could not, even though I was enjoying my time with one of my best friends doing fishing and movie watching and all the things, sushi eating, all the things we love to do. And yet there's this smoke, this thick smoke. So Justin Meek, an amazing person. And my friend's daughter knew him very well. So that's, when you know somebody or know somebody who knows somebody, these things are more meaningful and it's easy to be numb, well, that's over there. Well, no, this was in the third most safe community in our country is where this happened. So nobody is immune at any time. And I read in the Sierra Pacific Synod newsletter, the bishop said, but right before the shooting and back to the Tree of Life shooting, he said, maybe it's time. And he said, I hate to say this, and he's as liberal as anybody, but he said, maybe it's time we need to have an active shooter training in our churches. And he said, I never imagined saying that in my life. And as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, wow, but I at least had that thought myself. We're in times where that can make a difference of saving some lives. Saving some lives. That's one piece. And the other piece is Ian Long. That's who the shooter was, 28 years old. He was a veteran. And so it comes full circle to this day where we celebrate Veterans Day and makes things super, super complicated and complex. Because a term I heard was moral injury. It's a new term that people are coming up with to help deal with those vets who, it's something other than post-traumatic stress disorder. It's moral injury. Something happens in the life of that service and it goes contrary to what you perceive it as being right or wrong, but you bury it, and then it can, once you're discharged, it could be a week, it could be 40 years later that this emerges. It's a new way of talking about what it means to serve in the military and the consequences of that. And as I was thinking about him and who we are and how does this all work? Jesus talks about peace. That's what this whole gospel is about. It's about forgiveness and peace and building the kingdom of God. And we live in a country that's great and we're free and it's wonderful, but it has a cost. It has a cost. And perhaps, and this gets to the text of the day, perhaps like the widows, because the widows are the least in society, perhaps even veterans now who get services but not enough, maybe we're not taking care of them like we should be. Because we didn't get to Ian. And there was nothing when he was discharged that indicated anything. And yet, here we are. Here we are. It can be discouraging. It can be discouraging. So what do you do? What do we do? Part of Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees in our text is that he was talking to the leadership of the church there, to those Pharisees, to the temple, the folks who were worshiping God, and saying, this is not how God wants it. If you're not taking care of widows, if you're devouring them, that's not a sign of the God of grace and mercy and forgiveness that I've talked about with you again and again and again. That's not it. And then he sits and watches people as they're giving their money. And that widow gives her 2 cents worth. And he said, there is a person who, out of her poverty, gives everything. That's who we have to look after. Those who have nothing. That's the focus. Those who are, we push to the edges. So how does all that fit together? Well, like I said, I was feeling pretty horrible from my relaxing trip, supposed to be, down to Santa Cruz. And the events of the world caught me up, unlike maybe any time I've recently experienced. And so as I was coming to church, it's like, God, what do you want me to say? What, I don't know what to say. I don't have hope. And 3 minutes before our service, along comes walking in Charlotte Wiseman. Charlotte Wiseman is a member who comes usually to the first service. She, I believe, is our eldest member at 100. And she is a widow. Well, I went to give her a hug because that's a thing I do. That's one thing I can do. I know how to do hugs. That's my little 2 cents worth. And I gave her a hug and she said, thank you, Pastor. You know, we widows don't get a lot of hugs like this. So it's really nice. And so I said, oh, well, I'll give you another one then. And so I did. And she said, all right, well, that'll last me for a week. And that just made me smile. That made me smile. Even though there are sad things, and there will continue to be sad things, today is not the day that sad things will stop, or that we should forget sad things. And that's why we rang those bells, to remember. Part of not continuing to have conflict is to remember. So I lift up Justin Meek to remember him and him singing and sacrificing. And I lift up Ian Long, who sacrificed by serving and lost his way, and we couldn't catch him. We just don't know how quite yet. But we're working on it. And I lift up our widows, because perhaps when we're doing church right, what Jesus calls us to do in this story is to be the church that hugs our widows, that hugs those who have served, which that's what I want all of you to do. Whoever stood up, make sure they get at least 3 hugs. You know, so we got lots of hugs for those who have served. And maybe today is or next Sunday. Next Sunday will be Hug Widows Sunday, maybe. We'll just do it next Sunday. But that's what Jesus is calling us to do. It's the little things. That's why I asked that question to the kids. What do you do when a person's sad? Well, there are lots of good answers that we all have, even in the midst and in the thick of all that goes wrong and is confusing and seems unending and relentless. Yet there's always hope. There's always that 2 cents worth. There's always a hug. And that's the seed of the gospel, always thrown out, ready to be planted for God's grace and mercy and peace. in that person's life. Amen.